Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all those different names and titles we've just sung. We thank you for the ways that you have decided to reach down and put your grace upon us. We pray that today would be a day of fresh encounter with you. We pray that your joy would permeate us, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would produce an ever greater righteousness in us. We pray, Lord, that your peace would superintend all of our thinking and all of our doing. We pray, Lord, that as we move into the season of Thanksgiving, that indeed we'd be overwhelmed with gratitude towards you and all that you have done for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So glad you are all here as we celebrate together today. God is on the throne. He is sovereign. He is good. He is doing things that will bring him glory and honor. And we are going to celebrate him together today. I want a tune to get stuck in your mind. So listen a little bit to this tune. It's kind of hard to sit still with this song.
Peace and joy.
Now, there's nothing to watch. It's just the audio. But I want this tune and these words to just go through your mind all week long.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you
want to
be a part of the kingdom?
So keep it going. But what's the kingdom of God? If somebody asks you, what's the kingdom of God? What are you going to answer? You can turn it off now. I was surveying the congregation trying to figure out who were purebred Scandinavians and sitting there without moving, but some of you were actually, you know, moving a little bit, so there might be some mixed breeds going on there. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. If someone were to ask you before today, well, what's the kingdom of God? I'm sure there'd be all sorts of different thoughts that come to mind. You might think of a physical kingdom, a king on a throne, all the troops and all the royal people, the big castle with all its trappings and decorations. But the kingdom of God, you might have thought of angels. Coming and correcting everything and restoring everything. You might have thought of the heavenly gates. But Paul here is saying in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now that's something we need to dig into. If you were reading through Romans with me the last month, that might have caught you off guard like it did me. How does that fit there? It's interesting that so often we think of how we're supposed to act towards God. We might think of how we're supposed to believe in God and how that changes our eternal destiny. How when you become a person of faith in God, you enter into an eternal relationship and you become a child of the kingdom. But you still might think of it as something that's past, something that happened, something that you entered into when you did something years ago. I want you to be thinking as we move forward that the kingdom of God is now. Jesus said the kingdom of God is amongst you. Or some translators say the kingdom of God is within you. How might it be true that as we leave here today, that the kingdom of God is flowing out of us. Righteousness is flowing out of us. Joy is flowing out of us. Peace is flowing out of us. And as we live out that overflowing life, we are displaying the kingdom and spreading the kingdom. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm thinking that today, a new level of experiencing the kingdom could be breaking forth into our heart. Experiencing God's righteousness and joy and peace from the Holy Spirit. Now, as I studied this text, it's interesting to note the different things people say about it. A number of people pick just those three words out, that little half of a sentence, and start going on and on about what it means. What does Paul mean by the kingdom? What does Paul mean by righteousness and joy and peace? And they start building this idea, but what's interesting is they're basing their ideas on other uses of the words. The words righteousness and joy and peace are used many places in the Scripture, but I want you to recognize that they're used differently. When you think of righteousness and joy and peace, you might think of something that God does to change your relationship with Him forever. It's something that God puts into you. We talked about the word imputation in confirmation, imputes. When God imputes His righteousness into you, that is a status change. You are now classified differently. Before that happened, you were sinful, you were separated, you were unrighteous, unable to be in God's presence. But when God imputes His righteousness to you, you now are a different creature, a new creation. And certainly that's the way that this term is talked about in different or used in different portions of Scripture. Something that happened. God's righteousness put into you. God's peace put into you. God's joy put into you. But I want you to also recognize that Paul uses this term, like he does here, to talk about the here and the now. The experience. The day-to-day experience. Today, experiencing the kingdom in your interactions as family. This weekend, when you get together with family, whether it's here in the area or in Dallas, wherever it might be that you're getting together with family, experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy. See, I think that one of the things that can happen when we have a fuller understanding of this text is that the kingdom of God starts shining through our faces. Charles Finney was a guy I was reading a little bit of this week, and he talks about experiencing God's salvation in the here and now. So when I looked him up, they beam up a picture of him. It's the most stoic, unresponsive, sad picture you could imagine. He just looks like a grump. You're thinking, the sermon I just read does not match the picture of this guy on this webpage. Didn't look at all like someone that'd be talking about joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Well, what about you and me? Does your face match your faith? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That singer, his name was Ron Canole. I think we might need to pull that up on your iPod this week and play it over and over again so you get that little fancy rhythm going on there and those words going around your brain over and over again until it starts coming out of your face. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, if Paul really is using these terms that talk about the experience, it's probably true that he's basing that on what else he's already said in this book of Romans. For example, I think in Romans chapter 5, he talks about the imputation of righteousness. Let me read that for you. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to see how this is what God did in the past in us, and how that contrasts with Romans 14, what God is doing in the present experience, in the here and now. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, what is that? When you're justified through faith, what is it? That's producing righteousness in you. That's the righteousness of God becoming reality in your condition, your status. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So here we have the same three attributes: righteousness, here described as being justified through faith, peace, and joy, or rejoicing, or boasting in the hope we have in God. Here it is, definitely talking about a transaction that occurred when we entered into faith in God. Those three things were put into us. Our status changed. But in Romans chapter 14, it's a little different. It says in verse 17 of Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval, or is approved by man. In this chapter, Paul is talking about how the weak and the strong get along, and how people who have different opinions about different fringe issues can still decide that they're going to love each other. And he's especially aiming his instructions at the strong. He says to the strong, don't in any way hurt the weak. If someone has an opinion about whether it's okay or not to eat a certain meat or drink a certain wine or has to honor a certain day or a season or a time of year, don't look down upon them. Don't despise them. Don't in any way let what you believe cause them harm. So it's about relationships. And in this discussion about relationships, he says, it's not those little side issues, things that you do, that are the kingdom. But the kingdom is really what God is doing in you that's flowing out of you. Jesus was confronted with whether it was okay for his followers to eat the kernels of grain. And he confronted them and said, what goes into you doesn't defile you. He says, but what comes out of you reveals the condition of your heart. If what comes out of you through your mouth, through your words, through your actions, is harm, is evil, is destructive, then that reveals that you truly are not a person that has righteousness inside of you. And here we're saying that what flows out of you is the kingdom. So how do you know if you're truly a part of the kingdom of God or not? How do you know if you're a saved individual? How do you know if you have an eternal relationship with your Creator? Some people really emphasize that you have a memory of a point in history where a decision was made or a prayer was prayed. And there is some truth to that. But I would challenge you to question the validity of that experience in the past if it does not also have an impact in what the present life looks like. See, I think that salvation has a beginning point, and then it has an ongoing life to it. If you ask Christ to fill you and save you and rescue you at some point in history, if you pray to him and say, Lord, take my life, I'm yours, then from that point on, he should be doing stuff inside of you, and you should be letting him flow through you so that his character comes out, so that his righteousness that he imputed into you is now coming out of your mouth and out of your hands and out of your actions, out of your thoughts, out of your words, out of your discussions, out of the way you serve people, out of the way you spend your money. You ought to be a person that's not just said, I have a relationship with God, but is now walking in his peace so that you're at peace or in peace with the people around you. A relationship with him should result in a joyous relationship that now brings joy to your daily experience. See, I think Christians ought to be, followers of God ought to be, the most righteous, the most peaceful, the most joyous people on the planet. Would you be willing to let a prayer permeate your thinking over the next days? Could you wake up each morning and say, Lord, today, let righteousness, peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit flow through me? Could you make that part of your meal prayer? As you're thanking God for the food, could you also add in and say, Lord, today let righteousness, peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit flow through me. Let it affect my face. Let it affect my words. Let it affect my interactions. Righteousness, peace, and joy. See, righteousness is a right standing. When we think of righteousness with God, we think about being brought into a relationship with God in which we're no longer excluded, no longer kicked out, but God welcomes us in and allows us to be in His presence. And when we're talking about righteousness now being lived out, we're talking about being able to stand together with those around us. The weak and the strong standing together. The ones that have certain opinions about certain things being right next to those that have opposite opinions about some of those same things. They're standing together. There's right standing between believers. And there's peace. There's peace of being able to get along, about being able to enjoy harmony. One person had an illustration of thinking about a river, a mighty, deep, wide river flowing smoothly down this huge channel. Lisa and I, for our anniversary, went on a little dinner cruise on the St. Croix by Stillwater. It's pretty wide right there south of that bridge. The river surface seems smooth. But maybe you've seen rivers where it's not smooth. There's all sorts of white water as the water is churning over boulders and water is coming from this direction and that direction and hitting itself and billowing up. Lisa and I were standing next to on the bank watching the Congo River flow by years ago. And at one point in time, as we're looking out over the water, suddenly there's this mass of water bigger than this room that wells up and then gushes down again. The river is just constantly in flux and changing. The surface looked like a mountain terrain. It was so rough because water was not going the same direction. It was impacting each other, hitting each other. But God wants you to be at peace with the people around you. Peace is a product of the Holy Spirit at work. He produces that righteousness with God and that peace with God so that in your relationships there'll be peace. And what would it be? It would be people flowing in the same direction. You're always going to have little minor differences of opinion. But if you see yourself as a mighty river of people flowing in the channel of God to accomplish God's will, to do God's will, to bring Him glory, then you can let the minor stuff fade away and focus on what you have in common together. Peace. And thirdly, joy. Real joy. Joy that's not just a temporary little giddiness when your team does well or when the buck comes walking out and then falls down in front of you, but a joy that allows you to look at the different aspects of life and say, it's going to be okay, and I'm going to be an overcomer because God is in charge. God is on the throne, and we can be at peace in this moment. So there's joy that flows from that. Now, that's a supernatural thing. And so as we're trying to figure out how to live out this joy, I want you to recognize Christ's words. He said in John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete," or "may be full." He also said in the next chapter, John chapter 16, verse 24, "Until now you have asked me for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." He's talking about not just a joy of salvation, of something that happened years ago, but he's talking about right now, asking, being in a relationship, being in communion with him, so that his joy fills you to overflowing. Your joy made full. Now, how many of us couldn't do with a little bit of a joy infusion? A joy infusion. See, joy comes from the Holy Spirit. God applies that to you by his Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Or consider what is Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, the top three. Along with patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes that the Holy Spirit produces in us as we're in sync with him, as we're living in a relationship with him. See, I think that the devil tries to steal that experience of righteousness and peace and joy so that you live rather in bondage to doing certain things to try to earn God's favor or keeping a list of do's and don'ts, rather than living out this freedom we have in Christ. Paul says earlier in this chapter of Romans chapter 14, "I am fully convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good, your food, your wine, your days of seeing every day as the same, don't let that become something that destroys somebody and thus be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, rule-keeping, hoop-jumping, but it is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and acceptable to man." Charles Finney recounts an episode where he was preaching in this community. He lived in the He was born in the late 1700s, lived until about 1870-something. He was a big part of the Second Great Awakening. He ended up ministering a lot in New York State, but also then in Northern Ohio. But he talked about preaching about the experience of the joy of the Lord. And as he was done preaching, he got down, and a prominent lawyer in his town met him right at the bottom of the pulpit. "But I want to talk with you. Can you meet with me this afternoon? I want to go with you to go visit a person." So Finney said, "Okay." So that afternoon, this gentleman came over, and together they traveled to a lady's house where this lady warmly greeted them and was so excited to see them and went on for a half hour describing her joy in the Lord and how it seemed like she was just flowing in the love of God. And Finney says, "I was sitting there listening to this lady with the gentleman out of the corner of my eye, watching him the whole time, seeing his contortions of his face. As they left that lady's residence, went out on the street, this man stopped him, got in front of him and said, 'See that? I know that's real Christianity, and that's what I want. That's what I don't have.'" See, I think God wants that for you and for me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That results in these quality relationships, quality interactions with weak and strong, getting along, flowing in the same direction together. And when that's happening, it'll be noticeable to the people around us. I'm a bit of a political news junkie. The one thing that is just so alarming to me is how Christians are being labeled as these bigoted, racist, hate mongers. The fact that 80% of people who call themselves evangelicals would vote for Donald Trump is appalling to large segments of the population. They're saying that they're no longer real Christians if that's what they did. What if real Christians, as a work of the Holy Spirit, exuded righteousness, peace, and joy? What if there was interaction between Christians with non-Christians, and the person was surprised at how kind and loving and righteous, good, helpful these people were? I think it would build bridges over which the gospel message could be delivered. It's a supernatural act of God producing it in you, based on your right standing with Him, that produced righteousness, peace, and joy in Him, that then now flows out into your relationships. Let's ask God for more of that. Let's pray. Righteousness, peace, and joy, we ask for it, Lord God Almighty. We ask that by the power of Your Spirit, you would impute these things to us, that then change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, so that we're walking around spewing out righteousness, peace, and joy. May it be a joy that's so big, so life-changing, that it's unspeakable and full of glory. May it be a joy that is from You, and it changes so that it's complete and it's full joy. May it be a peace that demonstrates how we're flowing together with You and with each other. May it be right acts so that we're right standing beside each other in harmony. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of receiving from You. Help us now to live it out in a way that brings You glory. We seek to be approved by You and by men around us. We know that it's this kind of service, a service of righteousness, peace, and joy, that results in that. So we ask You to do it in us to an ever greater degree. In Christ's name we pray.